Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
But, you know, as I touched on, you know, we've been encountering God in a really powerful way across this season. And I just want to encourage all of us, whether you are at conference or not, we need to stay in a posture of giving Him all the glory, right? Because He's so worthy, amen? And He responds to that posture. And so, you see, our temptation as humans, after God has done something in us, is to just to go back to the status quo, right? I say it's our temptation. It's almost it's unconscious of us, or it's probably unintentional, I should say. And you know, we slide back into old habits, or we just go back to the routine we've always known. But if we want to fall more in love with God, if we want to access all that heaven has for us, if we want to see Him move through us into our worlds, well, there's an intentionality that God requires of us. And so we're going to quickly talk about that in the very short amount of time I have before we get into baptism. So my title is called Breaking the Status Quo. So how do we break the status quo? How do we step into something lasting with God? You know, you've had a word from God, you responded in altar call, whatever it may be, God did something in you. How do we just not go back to how it always is and actually step into that? How do we see that lasting change? And in fact, we touched on this in Connects last week. You got to see my ugly mug on the screen. And I want to speak into this again. Because we hear great teachings and then we forget about them, or we just quickly move on. Plus, this stuff is easier said than done, and we have a flesh that's not as into it as we'd like it to be. And so we all need the extra reminder or push. So you're welcome, all right? And so we're going to contrast the two encounters that Jacob had with the Lord in Genesis 28 and 32. And we'll see what we can apply to keep walking in what the Lord is wanting to do with us. And so in Genesis 28, Jacob has this encounter, right, with God through a dream that's so vivid and prophetic, and the Lord shows up and promises him this incredible inheritance, blessing and increase, and that the Lord's going to be with him everywhere he goes and partners with him. Now, we got to understand this is not a normal occurrence, right? This is pre-Jesus. It's in a time where it was so rare for the Lord to reveal himself to his people, right? And so Jacob has this amazing encounter, and he wakes up and he says in verse 16, surely the Lord is in this place. Like, oh my goodness, right? And you see, he would have heard about God having appeared to his forefathers in Abraham and Isaac. But now this time, God has met Jacob in a personal way. And this is a life experience, life-changing experience, you would think. But after this encounter happens, when we look at how Jacob responds, maybe not so. We go to verse 20. It says, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch me over on this journey I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And the stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. You see, Jacob encounters the living God, says, wow, and then responds with this big if. You know, if you scratch my back, God, then maybe I'll scratch yours, right? And that's been Jacob's nature. If you study Jacob, that's how he's gotten by so far, right? That was his status quo, was to look after himself, to do whatever he's got to do to move forward, to succeed, to fulfill his agenda and the dreams that are on his life. You know, sounds pretty standard for most of humanity, right? And so even though he's powerfully encountered the Almighty God, his heart posture is still one of self-serving, independence, and making something of himself. And so there's no transformation. You keep reading, nothing changes with Jacob. He continues to go, return to the status quo, be who he's always been. And so the question we got to ask ourselves is, do we have an expectation, kind of like Jacob, for God to meet our needs, but we're not really prepared to change anything or give up anything on our end? You see, we can encounter God and let nothing change in the way we live for Him. That's a really sobering thought. You know, we can take communion every day and let nothing change. And you see, God desires to move in us, to minister us. Jesus paid it all, amen, but we carry a responsibility, and that's the key to seeing a lasting change in our lives. It's how we break the status quo. So let's take a look at Genesis 32 and see how Jacob goes this time. God meets with Jacob again, and this is the account where Jacob wrestles with God. And we'll go from verse 24. It says, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Verse 30, "So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.' The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip." There's a lot in this, and we don't have time to unpack it all. But in short, I'm going to give you a hard and fast sort of interpretation of that. Many of us have misunderstood this text. I always thought Jacob wrestled with God and Jacob won and was like, "Bless me." And I was like, "How does God let that happen? I don't understand." But a close study of the text and the commentary actually indicates, firstly, God wrestled with Jacob. So the title at the top of my Bible is actually wrong. It says Jacob wrestles with God. It says God wrestled with Jacob. God initiated. It's amazing how often God makes the first move. Amen. And so God came to meet Jacob and change him for the better. And it comes through an actual wrestle. And so the whole point of this wrestle is to lead Jacob to a place where he's overcome and all he can do is just hold on and plead for a blessing. Right? He must relinquish his control and this sense of being self-made, independent, self-sufficient, and actually just learn to hold on to God. And you see, God wanted all of Jacob's proud self-reliance and his fleshly scheming, and God came to take it by force if necessary. And so otherwise, all the prophetic words he received, those promises, those wow encounter moments would fall to nothing. And so Jacob eventually yields and he comes to a place of merely holding on to God. And that's what the Lord is looking for in his church. You see, in Genesis 28, Jacob encounters the Lord but refuses to yield. He says, "Oh, if you do this, this, and this, then maybe I'll follow you," right? But in this encounter, he finally yields and he comes to this place of submission to the Lord. And that's what the Lord is looking for in us. Our yieldedness is the catalyst for genuine transformation. It's the difference between consumeristic Christianity and him actually being your Lord. Right? It's him being the potter and us being the clay and say, "Okay, I'm going to put myself on the potter's table and let you shape me." When Jacob finally unyields, then it unlocks this beautiful sequence of events. His name is changed from Jacob, which means deceiver, a man that is self-serving, to Israel. Right? And as PK broke down for us in Connect, that name actually means God rules. God rules. So he's gone from "I'm in control" to "God, you rule." God rules. And this encounter, which was a wrestle, brought him to a place where he finally surrendered and he lets God rule, not him. And then when God really rules, man, the way we live our lives will look different. Who and what takes our time will change. What we value changes. Our integrity and our character changes too. And that's why Jacob then makes this memorial called Peniel, meaning not by my awesomeness, but by God's grace and mercy, I've survived, right? Because he's been humbled and yielded to a place where he acknowledges the Lord's sovereignty and grace and how he's at the mercy of the Lord. And just like how Pastor David talked last week that the Lord gives us visual aids to help us follow him, well, Jacob walks away with a limp to remember that it was this encounter that finally led him to yield and that this is his best posture to live. And for us, it's a prophetic picture of when we encounter God and we yield, we won't walk the same anymore. When God reigns, it changes the way we walk. And that's what unlocks the promises from Genesis 28. God releases provision, right? He restores his relationship with Esau. Jacob enters into the full inheritance and the promise to be the father of nations and the 12 tribes of Israel. Worship team, you guys can come back up again. You see, we can encounter God, and whether our lives are changed or not will depend on our willingness to yield. Right? You can have the most amazing moment with God in your Connect group or at the altar and people laying hands and you're crying and there's snot everywhere. But if you walk away and say, "This life is still mine, thank you, but I'm going to keep doing it," it'll mean nothing. God is looking for his people to yield, to break the status quo of just doing what we know and surrender and hold on to him. Because from there, we access all that the Lord has for us. We step into his promises and his life abundantly. And so the invitation from the Lord for us every single day is, will you yield? Will you trust me and let me be Lord? Or Will you go your own way, keep the status quo, and just continue to wrestle for and strive for what God actually just wants to release over you? He's already paid for it. And the beautiful thing is, yielding helps us step into his presence too, which leads to more and more of these wonderful encounters with him. It's a win-win if we die to ourselves and live lives yielded to him.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.